Right on time, Stinson time.
It's 10-ish.
Yeah, thank you all for coming out in the rain. I understand we have longtime members, first-time attendees. Do you want to introduce yourself?
You know who you are.
And I'm Polly Walton.
Oh, great. It's always this fun. And the food's always good. We gave notice posting the agenda over 10 days ago and sending it to our email list. We're now pursuing the approach of not approving minutes in advance, but approving them at the meeting. Has anybody who wants to had the opportunity to review last meeting's minutes? Are there any corrections suggested? I move we adopt the minutes of the February 4th meeting.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Treasurer's report.
Our bookkeeper did not have time to do a proper financial statement. However, the bank statement is reconcilable because there are no outstanding checks. So I can report that at the beginning of February, we had a balance of $17,157. We had deposits of $100, expenditures of $364, leaving us with a balance of $17,157 at February the 28th.
We're in good shape.
Well, we're in better than good. I mean, what are the thoughts for dealing with that mother load of
I'm not sure whether.
Well, here's the budget.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether it's on the agenda or not, and I believe we've discussed beginning to review the community plan and interacting with the county and putting some seed money into retaining experts who might help us.
Okay.
So recognizing that we have a surplus. At what point do you embezzle? I mean, sorry.
Well, nothing under 10. I mean, it's not worth it. Also, on this business about the community plan,
yeah,
we need to go to have a conversation with Jack Leibster probably pretty soon to find out what would the financial commitment be had if we decided to go forward. And take advantage of some grant applications that are available to us from the West Marin Fund, from the Galena Stinson Beach Fund, all of whom would probably be very happy to give us some grant money because this is exactly the kind of thing that they fund.
Sam, it might be helpful to many of us just explain the background of what you're talking about revising the community plan.
Yeah. Okay, Stinson Beach has a community plan, and it's a county planning document that the county funded initially, and here it is. It came out in 1976, and then it was updated in 1985, and then there was a subsequent amendment to it in 2006. There are things in the original community plan that have still yet to be realized as community goals. And one of the reasons that I think they haven't been realized is once the topic is out of everyone's mind and in the community plan, everybody forgets about it unless it's pursued. So I think it's a good idea every 30 years or so to bring these issues up again to the community and let the county know do we have any new goals? And what about the old ones that we've been begging for 45 years? So I think it's worth doing. I think it builds community knowledge and spirit. And as it is a county planning document, it has weight. As the county considers things, in light of conformity to the community plan. They are asking us what we want, and that's how we tell them. So.
Thank you. I noted that you do what I do more often these days. You dropped the decade there. It's 76 is 40 years ago.
Okay.
Okay.
What? But the amendment was 86, so.
And the last one was 2006, so time is fluid here.
Question.
Yes.
One interesting fact is that the Coastal Commission, our new representative is going to be Aaron Peskin from San Francisco.
Oh, really?
I don't know how that works, but. And secondly, will this dovetail in with the local coastal plan?
No, the local coastal plan makes a big point about the fact that the community plans, except for Dillon Beach and Bolinas, have no bearing on the local coastal program. Because they say that the Coastal Act was adopted prior to the community plan. I don't think that's the case, actually. And I'm going to research it.
Theoretically, there's two overlays that govern development and use. There's the countywide plan, of which our community plan is a part. And then there's the whole Coastal Commission overlay. Anybody who's building, remodeling out here needs a coastal permit, which is handled by the county. And they harmonize in some ways, and they address different issues in others. Our community plan is on our website. It's also at the library right there. It's worth reading, and it's still fairly topical. Interestingly enough, the 2006 amendment was abandoning the request for the southern access to the parking lot. Think how current that is. And we still don't have a laundromat. But other than that...
Or a drugstore?
Not formally. I blasted to the drugstore when my kids were little. Old business.
Excuse me, I'm from Santa Benicia, which is an unincorporated part on the other side of the hill, and they're just finishing their community plan. It's taken a long time. The first time it was sent back because it wasn't specific enough, but the county did give the community association a county planner to work with. So if you decide to go ahead with it, they should assign somebody to help us get through the roads.
Sam and I met with Jack Leibster 5 years ago and talked about the age of our community plan and what was the county's interest in reviewing it, potentially amending it. And Jack said they didn't have the money or the planner, and they were short a planner. So that's why we would begin with him to see what the current county is and what kind of financial commitment would be required. We can obviously go with a private planner, but someone's got to pay him or her.
Since we have money.
$17,000 is probably not enough, nor even $10,000. But we'd have to. So there's nothing on the agenda. Thank you for old business. I'm going to be loose with the agenda if anybody has something on the old business. Yes, Pamela.
Oh, nothing on the old business. I just have a faculty meeting very soon after this. I need to leave for. I was wondering if I could do the education thing. And I sent Sam an email this morning. I don't know if you got it. About Fox Hills. About the traffic.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have been appointed to the steering committee for the pre-K program that we are trying to put together for next year over at the Stinson-Bolinas School. We've held our initial meeting. There's really nothing to report, except we are starting to examine it. There's fiscal issues, depending on the number of four-year-olds that sign up. It's just a four-year-old program. We still have 85 students. If we get the 10 we want from the fourth grade and everything else stays the same, we'd have 95 in the fall, which, of course, is a very low number for a school. But it would be the start of the universal pre-K, just addressing one age group. I'm sorry, Allison. It would be the start of universal pre-K, which means they get state funding for the very young children. And we'd start with the four-year-olds, and then we'll examine going down with 2.5 to 3-year-olds. So there's issues involving the BPUD Child Care Center. Others, nobody wants to pull business away from them, and yet families need some financial assistance, some respite from the cost of child care. So everybody is dialoguing.
Where did the 10 new students you mentioned come
from? Those
would
be the four-year-olds.
Oh.
That would be coming in next year if all the ones that have expressed an interest actually do sign up. Plus, we are hoping more families with young children will move out here. But there's a solid 10. So then moving on to the traffic community, Lynn is can't be here, her mom is here, but she is very concerned about the foxtails being mowed down by the side of the road because they get into pets' eyes and humans' clothing, and it's just a mess. And it's time limited when the county does the actual mowing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they've heard from us. Didn't get done last year, but way later.
Yeah, it was late when they mowed.
Yeah, so it might be nice with all the rains if they do it a little earlier.
If it ever stops raining.
Yeah, well, there's that. And the second thing is, of course, the spring visitors are going to be arriving for the first sunny weekend. And I'm wondering if we can start exploring, get those little plastic thingies up and down the road about slow down, you know, starting when they turn off panoramic and they are roaring down Highway 1. I almost got hit the other day just crossing the street. They're going way too fast. We don't have any signs.
You do realize that the Coastal Commission has final say on all signage, including that?
Let me interject here.
Even little plastic thingies?
Every little thing. Even our little...
Especially
little. Even our little sandwich board signs that the local businesses put on the highway. If anybody from the Coastal Commission came along, out. They're prohibited.
Well,
so
they'd never be at the park site again.
No.
Let me take this opportunity to inject a new business issue. A week ago, Thursday, the 23rd, I went to a meeting in Point Reyes of all villages. It was organized by the Point Reyes Village Association and was attended by the state senator, Mike McGuire, the regional head of Caltrans, Sheriff's Department, CHP, and Coastal Commission. Coastal Commission person being fairly high up, I think, on the staff. The agenda issues were traffic and waste management. As to traffic, there was a great deal of discussion of the seashore. Apparently there's over 2 million visitors to the seashore a year, and there's an obvious burden on the roadways and Point Reyes and Inverness with that many people passing through. So there were various discussions from why don't we charge them, which according to the Enabling Act for the Coastal, or for the GGNRA, can't be done, to what should the internet say. That was interesting and kind of a shared issue, much like ours, the people that descend on us. I spoke to two things. First, I thanked both Caltrans, the regional director, and the for the plan that was described to us for the, what is it, the
shoulder widening.
Well, we're interested in the shoulder widening. They've jammed the widening of the shoulder along Highway 1 for walking, from our point of view, into this latest act, and I thank Caltrans for acknowledging what's been our issue for 34 years. It's dangerous to walk by the road. The woman from the Coastal Commission said, that the staff recommendation is to approve that, and the vote will be coming up. So it will have cleared the last hurdle to be done. As to traffic, I said, and I spoke to Kenny about this afterwards, that that the crucial issue in town is what happens at the stop sign, and that if they don't have someone out to direct traffic, it becomes a 45-minute or more chaotic scene. And I suggested that they explore deputizing volunteer firemen, Kenny Stevens, or perhaps a group we might assemble through the traffic committee to step in and handle it if they're not going to be there. The CHP guy loved it. Wow, this is great. Or maybe it was the sheriff. The sheriff guy loved it and thought it was a great idea. In speaking to Kenny, we both acknowledged that, one, it's a massive liability issue. So it would have to be something that was actually done through the sheriff so that the liability was a county liability and not a fire department or local liability, which I presume would mean training. I don't know. Kenny says it's scary out there when you're directing traffic, and he's done it several times. So the purpose of the meeting, which was quite long, with not enough cookies.
We don't have
the
problem.
Not yet. Was to develop a to-do list and to form a committee with representatives to follow up on these things. So I think that without us doing anything more than the sheriff may follow up on that issue, I expect there to be insurmountable obstacles to doing it, whereas it would be just nice. I mean, I used to have that. I didn't even know how to wrap up the belt when I was a kid and had to do the crossing guard
so
stuff.
So you were a crossing guard too?
Yeah, the eighth graders got to do it, seventh and eighth grade. And then we could fold it into this little thing.
Little vibrator thing.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'd be interested in any, in waste. There's all kinds of talk about recycling, having fountains where people can refill water bottles. Don't dump your trash in the restrooms that are have to be pumped. And even there's somebody developing mulch or fertilizer from what they pump out of there. So there you go. I'm
good.
Glad to bring back the feces report. And anybody have anything that they'd like me to follow up on or comment?
Yeah, the path, the walking path over Mount Tamalpais that exit right on Panoramic as soon as you turn, there's no warning, there's no protection, there's nothing on the road. And children run into it and run right there with parents frantically grabbing at them. And it's so dangerous.
And
is
so
this...
You're talking about where
the
Dipsy comes out?
Yeah.
What's your thought about what ought to be done?
We talked about crosswalks in the context of downtown Point Reyes. They want some crosswalks. And Caltrans went like, oh, God, crosswalks. Oh, can't. They're, you have no idea how controversial they are. So.
Where the Dipsy Trail comes out?
Yes.
Yeah.
We mentioned this to the Highway Patrol once before and the sheriff, and they just sort of glazed over. There must be such enormous red tape involved that they didn't even want to consider.
Oh, there's also conflicting things, which is how do you manage traffic? When it's got a stop at a formal crosswalk. So I think it's something that could be explored. Signage would be best, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pedestrians emerging.
Pedestrian walking.
And signage on the trail. Be careful. I think there is some above Panoramic. I can't remember if there's signage on the trail.
There's nothing here.
Nothing on the road where it dumps out.
Well, there's nothing on Panoramic either where it crosses. And it crosses Panoramic and it crosses
Highway 1. There's nothing on Panoramic.
Panoramic's a little easier because it seems like either if you're coming up the hill, you're going slower, or if you're coming down, there's more visibility.
Yeah.
But dumping down onto Highway 1 on a heavy traffic day is problematic. So, okay, I'll follow up with that, or we'll see if we can get somebody from Caltrans more generally to come and talk, perhaps as a follow-up to the what is it, the grooves in the road that they're putting in? That's what
Rumble strip.
And also, what's happening with Highway 1? There, another section fell, I heard.
All I know is they were predicting it open by April.
Yeah, they'll never make that.
What did happen? And where did it happen?
Well, the initial site, they closed the road, it's up above Green Gulch.
Right.
I went over that as they were closing it.
And then there's been another slide, I believe, just south of where they made that big repair.
Ah.
Right. Right where the steep ravine
is.
Yeah, right.
Just beyond steep ravine.
Just
right.
beyond steep ravine.
Right.
Because
yeah.
steep ravine is open.
Right.
But
right.
Slide Ranch and.
Right.
Ranch.
Oh, the most recent
not.
Repair, not
yeah.
the
yeah.
big landslide
excessive.
Repair.
Yeah, the most recent. Repair where we had the one-way traffic and,
right.
and all that. They,
having some
they
fun
didn't
now.
Go. They didn't go far enough, I guess.
Bonnie is trying.
Yeah, Bonnie, what's
I
up?
I walked the highway last Sunday to check that out.
Oh, good.
So I went back to the old 89 slide. There are three places on the road where the dirt has undercut the asphalt, so it's really hard to see it from the surface. But if you're hiking along there, and the people driving the road, when you're hiking along there, you can see how the road has been undercut near the steep.
The first big switchback, there's one in there.
So there are three areas I can observe.
People get
out
of Stinson Beach because of
the
outer
mirror
beach. Oh,
there's
a
but now that we're disconnected to that, we used to have two options. We could go to Muir Beach and up the hill when that section of one was still open, and now it's not. I guess it's open to Slide Ranch, at least the sign suggests that. Yeah.
People are driving it, and I'm sure.
How are they getting in there?
You can get around this barricade.
Yeah, you can get around.
Okay.
It's on the steep ravine, I guess you can go, because I was there and I saw two cars parked there this past week.
Yeah, the sign says open to steep
right.
ravine, so you can still get to the environmental cameras.
And there were about 10 cars parked on a turnout beyond there.
Oh.
It's hard to see how the asphalt's undercut. I recommend you observe the signage and don't drive.
And I think Bolinas Fairfax is also closed.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're down from 4 to 2.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be just like Big Sur.
We've done this so many times.
Well, Highway 1 around the lagoon, when I got my water bill, they had that was washed out or it was impaired or something.
Yeah.
I assume it's working.
Yeah, the tides.
Yeah.
When the tides are high and the rain's coming down, there's a stream flowing across at the low spot.
Oh, yeah.
Let's sing it. okay.
Until next time.
Anything more on these general subjects?
There's something. Oh, never mind. We'll come to this. I think that the local coastal program is on the agenda at some point.
Right.
Okay.
Art Contemporary Marin? I don't think so. GGNRA? Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
We've had 4 years of drought, obviously, 5 years of drought, so obviously it's done now. Excuse me. But I would like to call everybody's attention, if you look up the Table Rock and look up the canyon above the school, you couldn't notice it too much before, but as the trees are starting to respond to the rain, the There are literally hundreds and hundreds of dead pine trees there. When you look up above on Table Rock, you'll start to see them there. If they really stand out, it's, you know, I mean, they'll just eventually fall down, but in the event that there's a fire hazard, there's a fire that would be a little hazard. But it's really, it's tragic, particularly you look up above the school canyon, and there are just literally hundreds and hundreds of trees that are dying off just from 4 or 5 years of that. Mm. But there's nothing you can do about it. Just everybody's FYI.
Isn't that GGNRA's job?
No, they're not going to do anything about it.
That's a state
it's
park.
They're just too, most of the state park, state and federal. But they're just, I mean,
they're going to cut them up when they fall down if they're across the trail. Anne?
I don't know whose responsibility is clearing the roads after the slides and everything, but I think they've all done a magnificent job.
Haven't they?
Yes.
The Village Association should thank them.
We have.
The Village Association.
Give them a call because it's Public Works, I believe.
Right? Yeah, DPW.
Public Works. Okay.
Yeah, they've been terrific.
Patching the potholes, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I'm going
to the one in front of the library. Well, that
slows people. So I'll continue with the community reports. Do we have anything from GGNRA? Did Mia send us any emails? I didn't see any.
Yes.
Oh, she did?
Yes, thanks.
This is Mia Monroe, our contact at GGNRA. When she can't be here, she emails.
She's really good about it. So accessible facilities update. Picnic areas, concrete, benches, tables, barbecues complete. Central comfort station, concrete stairs and flat work complete. Wooden boardwalk to the beach will be complete on 3/15, subject to weather delays. Extensive beach erosion will require some protective handrail installation requirements around the concrete stairs to the beach. Rails will be galvanized metal and open feeling. Design is complete, currently obtaining bids for the effort. Sign standards and frames installed. National Park Service to install the signs, currently in manufacturing. Electrical wiring issues, NPS repair, replace effort is in discussion. The electrical work will enable the central comfort station to reopen. This is not an issue created by the contractor working on site. Anticipated repairs to be complete before peak season. Waterline replacement impacts the opening of the North Comfort Station and is in discussion by NPS. This is an NPS issue, not the current contractor working on site. Vegetation management and stewardship. The plants planted by HRT and a contractor at the Stinson Beach leach field are thriving! Exclamation point. The straw mulch application has kept weed infestation to a minimum. Last thing. One TAM has a volunteer drop-in program for first Saturday of every month. Join this program on March 4th, April 1st, and May 6th. They've mainly been managing the Cape Ivy growing back in the restored floodplain of East Coot Creek, but sometimes work on projects elsewhere. They planted along the Linus Lagoon in February instead. Workdays are posted at the onetam.org website. Other park stewardship volunteer programs are increasingly working in the Stinson area. Maria Alvarez reports that every second Wednesday they rotate between Bolinas Fairfax Road, Stinson Gulch, MCOSD land along Bolinas Lagoon. And this will be posted on our website with the meeting minutes.
Great, thanks.
Is the problem that the folks had with the unsightly fencing that had been put up, and there was going to be worked out, they were going to pay for it, has that been accomplished?
Yeah, last meeting, we confirmed the generous gift of $1,000 and for painting the fence, and we then made a grant of $1,000 for that purpose.
I don't think it's been painted yet, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a weather thing. Mobilization, who knows.
So we're laundering funds.
Yes.
No. Yeah. While you were gone, you're gone one meeting.
What happens?
We took our moment.
We took our VIG.
It was an ethical lapse.
It was. We conveyed tax exempt status on the funds. Who's arguing with that?
You would charge for that?
Yeah.
That's
only $100.
We get the float.
Can we delete this portion of the recording?
That was Terry Gordon.
Our vice president.
Who wasn't here at the meeting.
We would have voted you down over you anyway. Friends of the libraries? We have...
Well, I'm not a friend.
You are the library.
Should I do that?
Directors of the library.
Yes, please. So, I'm Carrie. Library, please come to the library. We have a wonderful event this spring, always One Book, One Marin. We're reading The Tsar of Love and Techno, Anthony Mara. It's about Chechnya, and it's about Russia, and it's about censorship of art and censorship of elections. So, no, I don't know. But we're having an event this Tuesday. There's a man coming, Jason Morton of UC Berkeley. He's going to come and talk about the culture and history of Chechnya and Russia. It'll be very interesting. I do hope people will come.
When is that?
It's Tuesday night at 7. And
I
he's going to show you.
At our library.
You did hear him?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
I learned a lot.
Oh, good.
The history of Chechnya.
I know nothing, so I'm really glad to be having this man come to talk to us. We also have a monthly sing-along. We're singing songs, Dylan, Beatles, Donovan. It's really fun. We've had two of them so far, and we'll have another one in April.
Sorry. What kind of attendance do you have?
About 10 people, which is perfect. It's a
Tuesday
night. All my evening events are on Tuesday night because it's the only night I'm open. But yeah, I think it's usually the last Tuesday. So we'll see in April when it will be, and I will put flyers all over the place. And once again, please come and join me and everybody.
It's wonderful, your library.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bonnie.
And I have to put a plug in. If you can, check out the book at Sensibich Library. We have it for sale.
Good. That's great.
It's tough to compete against free, isn't it?
Sometimes it works.
Bonnie is very supportive of
and
the
bookstore
really
is wonderful.
Appreciate it. And I hope that I can be as supportive of her as she is of me.
Aww. It's a love fest.
It's a love fest.
It's a great book. It's
interesting. So we heard from Pamela about this school district that was under the good of the order moved forward. Since there is no official representative from the school district and the preschool, the Village Green 1 and 2?
No report.
No report. Thanks, Al. Seadrift Association? No report. Stinson Beach Community Center?
Well, we had the annual meeting. What else? We're thinking of, we're having an Audrey. Not Audrey All, but it's Nina Gerber and some others are going to do a concert. Audrey's friends and
Blame Sally,
going to do a concert June 16th or 17th, middle of June anyway. And then there was talk of doing a variety show, but when Mary sent out a thing to the board of directors to see who would be interested in helping. I think she didn't get any response, so I'm not sure that there is going to be a variety show. But that would be kind of fun. And it would be, I think, a great thing for the community, because back in the day when they did the bong show and the other things, they did some dramatic things. It was a great community service, because it
And we have a lot of talent in town.
Mm-hmm. So, think about it and call Mary.
There's also the Surf Fest.
The Surf Fest. Oh, Surf Fest, yes. That's March something when we're away, so I didn't pay attention. I'm sorry.
It's next Saturday.
It's next, yeah.
March 7th?
11th
on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And which date was the Blame Sally?
16th of June.
Thank you.
Yeah. 16th or 17th, whatever.
Correction.
The library is in the process of having all of Audrey's CDs, so if anybody wants to come and borrow them.
Thank you all. The Disaster Council, Fire Protection, Volunteer Ambulance Corps and Fire Department.
Thank you.
Hi. So I'd like to make a report on helicopter air ambulance service, which has a membership program through Air Med Care Network. Whenever there is a medical emergency in West Marin that warrants it, air ambulance helicopters for medical transport might be used. And the cost of one of these transports can be over $30,000. The patient transported or their health insurer, if their policy includes coverage for air ambulance transport, is responsible for the cost. Not all policies include coverage for air ambulance transportation. Air Med Care Network offers a membership program which could cover part or all of the transport costs. The Stinson Beach Fire Protection District and its affiliates are not associated with Air Med Care Network, and this report does not constitute an endorsement. We simply wish to raise awareness of the existence of the membership program so residents can make informed decisions. If you currently carry health insurance, check with your provider to see if air ambulance transport is covered and what the limitations of your coverage are. In the past, residents needed to become members of both CalSTAR and REACH to have the most complete air ambulance coverage. Late last year, the two companies merged their membership programs with Air Med Care Network, allowing you to pay only one membership fee. For a membership fee of $65 per year per household, you will receive the benefit of knowing you will have no out-of-pocket expenses related to an ambulance flight. For more information, call Air Med Care Network at 877-222-4703 or visit airmedcarenetwork.com. If anyone has more questions, feel free to ask. Barbara.
I would just like to add that the Coastal Health Alliance, while it may not be official, I've had a membership for several years through Coastal Health Alliance. And I think, I don't know, but sometimes they give you a little discount.
That's not happening anymore. Since the merger of the membership programs, there are no more discounts. But $65 a year for household is less than having the two memberships and the two old program. And it does actually give you a wider net of coverage. They include coverage in parts of some other states, not all states.
All over the Sierras.
Yes, exactly. For a lot of the area that we would be in, and that's, you know, really nice to know. There's been some information. Chief Anita from Bolinas published a great information about it on Nextdoor. Unfortunately, some of the people chimed in with their little viewpoints, and a lot of misinformation came out. Someone posted that, oh, you get coverage in other countries, which isn't at all true. So what I really want to encourage is people to call their own insurers and ask their own insurers what is covered. One thing that Anita's pointed out, sometimes an air ambulance might be called because someone's having chest pain. Then you get to the emergency room, and it turns out, hey,
indigestion.
No. And sometimes insurers will say, well, you know, we don't want to cover it then. So you need to ask your insurer, what happens to me if that happens? You know, they say chest pain. Oh, we got to get you there. So their question, you really have to be specific in the questions you ask, and you have to ask your own provider. Don't ask your friends who have similar policies. Your policy is what matters.
So is this covered under Medicare Part B, the supplemental, or is it part of Medicare?
Well, you know, this is where I really encourage people to call Air Med Care Network and ask them, what have been your experiences with Medicare and my particular insurer, because there are some stories that are kind of scary, where sometimes if Medicare says we don't want to pay, then the supplemental policy will feel justified in saying, well, we shouldn't have to pay anything if Medicare doesn't pay their part. And I understand there also have been arguments about, well, they're supposed to take you to the closest hospital, and they didn't do that. And, you know, these arguments come up, and nobody wants to be in the middle of a situation like that when you or your loved one has just been through the worst health crisis of your life.
They take you to the nearest hospital that has a helicopter landing pad. They do.
But,
and yes, Medicare covers it. Yes. I know, because I'm part of that.
What is the Medicare insurance for people like me?
You can tell who's 65 and over by the question.
Medicare coverage, but I do anyway. I still have $65 a year.
Yeah.
You're covered.
And I'll tell you, I don't have to have it either, and my husband doesn't have to have it, but we have it, even though we have coverage, because
right.
our neighbor, who has a similar policy to us, was in the Sierras, she had a skiing accident, she said, take me to the Kaiser facility that's closest to where my mother lives. That's where I want to be. And they took her. She got a bill from the ambulance company. She called Kaiser. She said, is this covered? They said, oh, yes, ignore those bills. We'll work it out with them. Well, a few months later, she got a bill from a collection agency. And she called Kaiser up, and she said, what's going on here? And they said, oh, we're still discussing with them what the bill should be. So I don't want to have a bill from a collection agency when it's the worst thing in my life. For $65 a year, and I also want to support the continuance of these services, and they rely on membership fees for that. So that's my plug. If you have any more questions, I'm happy to answer.
Catherine, I have here in person an AirMed care card, but they have a different number. They have an 800 number. It's 800.
Can I see it?
Sure.
AirMed Care Network. Yes, that might be for the emergency and membership questions. That is either an old number, or I got this number off their website today, and it is their membership number. But maybe both numbers work. Maybe it'll ring over. I don't know. Maybe this is the number they provide to the public who aren't members yet, and that's the number they provide to people who are already members.
Former presidents of the Stinson Beach Village Association.
Maybe they're just trying to save money by giving the wrong number to their members.
Terry, that's for CJU people.
Does the Seadrift
copies of the report if anyone
does the Seadrift limo take you?
we have a landing pad.
We have
right
a landing
pad. just down the street from me.
Yeah, right next to right in this garden.
That's a terrifying story.
Is there one there?
It's a terrifying
story. Right over on Gypsy Road near Maury's house.
Your story is terrifying about getting an ambulance or air ambulance. You get to the hospital and they say, no, you're not covered. I mean,
they take it back.
Do you get a chance?
They give you
give them new symptoms.
They give you a parachute.
But the parachute is covered.
Okay.
I'll be okay.
Yeah, well, what you have to do
call
is
call Barbara if there's a problem.
What I say is talk to
will
your
you
own
insurer.
Talk to your own insurer because a lot of people say this is that.
Yeah.
Talk to your own insurer. Talk to someone and just know what questions to ask, but that is a good one. A good one to ask is what happens if I get to the hospital and they say this wasn't necessary, and that's a question to ask.
Wow.
Nicely stated.
And
keep in mind, too, it's usually the decision of the emergency responder that comes to the
exactly.
whether you're going by wheels or by air, not your decision. They don't sit there and say, do you have reach? Do you want to fly in?
that's exactly
that's
right.
Good.
Yeah.
So you may want to get past that by doing
will you do a ride along when I call?
It's really excellent, and
it's
worth
$60. You should collect aluminum cans. I mean, if you try to take, just to pay for it. I mean, it's unbelievably good deal. roll up your pennies. Okay, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Historical Society, any report?
No report.
Thank you. The Medical Center.
I'm going to read my report. I think it's okay. Then I won't leave anything out, or maybe I won't add.
It sounded like it's correct.
But there's good news.
There's good news. And thanks to Maury, he made a sign that said, "We're open." And I made some changes, and he went ahead and made some changes, and he laminated the sign, and it's there.
Aww. Wow. Hey, did he not spell open?
Yeah, right? What kind of change?
We're open. Oh, got to have an apostrophe in there.
You can spell we're wrong.
He added Thursdays, and he added from 9 to 12:30 and 1:30 to 5. That's a lot of words to add to a big sign.
That's a lot of work. Beth, you didn't mention the windmills.
Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't driven by. He also, I got some little windmills to let people know to look at the sign, and he came back Thursday morning early and installed them.
Whoa.
And there was enough wind to make them go around. He knows aerodynamics.
What a true public servant.
Alternative energy.
Also in violation of the coastal.
Yeah, they generate a little bit.
Did you get your coastal permit for that?
who was talking about signs in the day? Well, you better get down there and see that sign quickly.
I'm going to drive by it on the way.
I didn't get a permit for it.
All right, we digress.
No, that's not my guess. All right, I'm going to read this. When I asked what the Village Association could do for the Stinson Beach Health Clinic, Steve Siegel, our CEO, replied, "Help us find a family practice doctor who wants to live in West Marin. Perhaps we can even find an available place in Stinson for the family to live. There are miracles every day. We're looking for matching funds, and you have a Lois Balkin sheet. I think everybody has them. In memory of Lois Balkin, a former Coastal Health Alliance board member, we are about halfway to the $10,000 that we're trying to collect to match. Students from West Marin are eligible if they are seeking to study toward a medical professional degree. We have already found two Stinson residents who are working toward their RN degrees right now. So they are eligible and they're going to apply.
Great.
That's exciting. The Briones Lions Club, Stinson side, which represents both Stinson and Bloomness, and they support the tug of war and the parade, which we love and participate in, is looking for members to keep it alive. They were down to nobody. And now I went to talked about the Lions or the Balkin Club. They had a packed Rod and Boat Club meeting. Young people, new people. It was fabulous, and it's all the work of Matthew Lewis, and I have included his number here, 307-3889, for more information. They meet at 7 p.m. on the fourth Thursday of each month at the Rod and Boat Club on Wharf Road, and they took up a collection on the spot and helped with the Balkin Fund for our scholarships. Repairs at the center include an interior remodel, paint touch-up, and a new cabinet, plus a new roof at Coastal Health Alliance and Well Springs. First and foremost, we need to make an appointment, all of us, at the health center. Thursday's appointment was a total of 7 out of the 20 slots that are available. And we can't sustain ourselves with that number. So try to remember Thursdays. I know it's midweek for lots of people, but think of the fact that it's a Kaiser-affiliated association. And you can get your blood drawn. You can, you and you work through Kaiser and it's reported immediately through our electronic system. Jacob Loya is our medical professional and he is receiving high praise. Our next open days are March 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th. Four more opportunities this month. So then you can call 868-9656 for an appointment at any time. It'll go to the main office in Point Reyes otherwise. So thank you to Maury. By the way, Kenny checks our emergency system every Tuesday at 7 a.m. He goes to the clinic to make sure the generator functions. How about that? Okay, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Beth.
I have a question. What are Jacob's credentials? Is Jacob a nurse practitioner?
He's a medical assistant.
A medical assistant. What does that mean, medical assistant?
He's next to a doctor.
Next to a doctor.
Yeah.
It's a physician's assistant.
Physician's assistant. He gets high praise. Somebody in next door, Stinson Beach, said they had visited him in Point Reyes, and he incredible. That's what we're hearing.
Thank you, Beth.
You're welcome.
Maury, the county water district?
The county water district is flush with water. To date, as of February 21st, I should say, I have measured 48 inches of rain in my backyard. The readings vary depending upon the topography and the location, but we've had one of the wetter years that we've had in the history of our town here. And there's still a good chance that we'll break 50 inches of rain, because we still have the months of, the rest of March and April to go through, which historically are wet. On a personnel note, we had Chris Kelly, who is, I think most of you know, he comes by and makes inspections of the wastewater systems. He celebrated his 17th year with the district.
And 48 on Earth.
48, okay.
And what?
48 on Earth.
Oh.
I mean, he's 48 years old.
That's interpretation.
You're good with signs? Good with...
It's an all-around reason.
So I guess the bottom line is that we're way ahead of where we were last year, but we still encourage conservation of water.
Reservoir?
I'm sorry?
Do we have a reservoir?
We have five very large tanks. But we
and
do not have a reservoir as in a lake.
They're talking about digging a well.
We dug the well. We got a very good well. And so that well, we're now, we dug the well on an exploratory permit. Now we're in the process of seeking a final permit so that we can put the well online. But it came in very strong.
Great. Thank you. Anything? Flood Advisory Board? Community Church?
No reports.
Thank you, Al. West Marin Senior Services, I guess we're getting somebody, or somebody new has started replacing that.
His name is Stephen Simic or something.
Simic.
I was hoping he'd be here, but I can see him.
Any idea of the spelling of his last name?
S-I-M-A-C.
Okay, thanks.
So he will be in charge of Stinson, Bolinas, and your beach. So if you have any issues, he will be your contact. West Marin Senior Services.
Committee reports, traffic, we're revving it up, right?
We're revving.
Okay. Flood mitigation, we're mitigating it, right? Compliance review, I'm continuing to fall down on the job. But I think they're big houses being built. You know.
Continuing to be built.
Do you need a hand with that?
Pardon me?
Do you need a hand?
Yeah. Where's my compliance review
officer?
Yeah, good deal. We'll talk.
Okay.
Thank
you.
I ask you, please don't fall down on the job, because it's just horrible things are happening in Seabrook right now.
What about your architectural advisory board?
Don't answer that.
You mean the Stinson Architectural Review Committee?
Well, let's talk more generally. We we expressed our concern about the huge buildings moving toward town from the channel. And we've encountered kind of the uncertainty about where the bottom, where the top is, according to regulations and the transition delay to the local coastal program. Our concern is looking at the entire community was that the whole experience of the beach is going to change. My mother lives near Del Mar, and it's just a wall of houses as you walk along the beach. So, but we found very little support in Seadrift, which should have more of a concern. And I understand that. I mean, there's so much value in a lot in a house of that size that how do you say no to your neighbor? But I, if there is generally a sense that we should speak out on that, then we will again.
I think we should, because I get mail all the time talking about we received another application for an exemption from our height limits, and we want to go 3 feet.
That's what every one of them is.
Above, yeah, and it's, I mean, I think we ought to say something. We ought to object.
It was, we've been to the, we've dealt with the review officers. We've dealt, the deputies, we've dealt with the planning commission. We've dealt with the board of supervisors and the trimming, cutting, and pasting is hardly a reduction in size. So.
But you've prevailed a little bit, and even a little bit helps, Mike.
Okay. That's good to hear.
Well, the Seadrift Association has come out with new architectural guidelines. And they had to be revised because of the requirements of FEMA. That the first floor has to be at a certain elevation.
Right.
And so that, I would think, has to do with the increases in height that you're talking about.
It does, Maury, but they're going higher than that.
Most of the applications have request variances for height.
To the new ones, higher than the new restrictions.
Yeah.
It's interesting because the architectural guidelines were written allowing 25 feet maximum height, but nobody was thinking about maximum floor height when they were prepared. So there was a real expression of how high do we want them to go? 25. Well, if you have to be up 10, then the question becomes, what does it look like above that? See, the Architectural Review Committee seems to have generally abandoned the 25-foot height or taken it to mean 25 feet above the 10 feet. But people are going above that. We're seeing, it's usually 38 to 40 feet that people want to go, and we got one push down a foot and a setback on this side. But I'm surprised that neighbors don't speak up. You know, when someone is about to build something to block your view of the mountain.
And I don't understand what that Seadrift, I mean, I don't know why it's our job. If you have an architectural design review in Seadrift?
Yes, and they keep giving exemptions.
They allow them. Oh,
and it is our, the community plan says we are Okay. Responsible for commenting on the rural character and
okay.
and that, but that, in my mind, that's never meant we've got to sort out what the wall looks like for this neighbor on the south. It means what's the experience from the beach, what's the experience from the road, and Sea Drift set back enough from the beach so that going, you know, from here to there might not adversely affect walking to the channel, but still a solid wall of the types of houses that we're seeing.
You know, what I would encourage is for the Village Association to have a meeting in the field, and we could start right at the pedestrian access to the beach at Van Prague, I think is what it's called. Just before you get to the gate, there's that.
Right.
And just walk the beach, because I walked the beach yesterday, and quite frankly, I don't see this massive wall that you're talking about.
More like a story holes.
Barbara, right, please, let me finish, okay? Let me finish.
But you can't see.
Let me see. Where was I? Anyway,
you can't see the mats of all.
Walking the beach, but a lot of the blockage of the views is from trees. And I acknowledge that there have been some big homes that have been built there. But I would encourage us all to, it's a beautiful walk, to walk it instead of meeting here.
In the ideal world, let me back up a second. One of the guidelines we have is to value or give weight to what the Architectural Review Committee says. So the plan envisions, in a sense, a coordination, which there hasn't been as long as I've been on the Village Association. In the ideal world, we're talking. And we're just saying, look, community character, rural, that's our value here. You've got yours where you're regulating how neighbors live with each other in very tight quarters. But how do we harmonize them? How do we talk about the development? So we have been very aggressive. We've been to the Coastal Commission on an appeal of one house. It was, you know, closer down to the gate. But there is, you know, our specific function isn't the same as the, and on a very personal libertarian sort of view, it's okay with me if you want to build 40-foot things and block each other out and ride down the road and go, I can see the sky. But
you're embellishing things, Mike.
I know. but you know, that's my job.
I invite you all to come visit me at 273 Sea Drift Road, which is where all of this impact is going right now. And I invite you to see the story poles, which are knocked over by the
street.
No.
Bonnie,
they're
on the beach side.
Bonnie, did you want to say something before you were gone? I couldn't tell.
Oh, I just had a lot of empathy. I worked on one of these up on the hill, and it's an arduous process without the Village Association writing a letter of their opinion and the neighborhood coming together as a group. And it's incredibly time intensive, but if you really care about the height limits, I mean, you had to have the county change how they measured height on the slope of the cliff. And I had to hire an architect attorney, and we worked several months, and the county acknowledged that they didn't have the correct wording in the rules on how to measure the height on the slope. And it was a huge factor in the design process of the homes.
It always is.
And now the neighbors are there, and, you know, we've settled in, it's seasoned, you know, and it worked out really well. But it was tough. It was tough to get the neighbors together and get a nice coalition, working with the Village Association and getting their support and going to the county. And it's a lot of work, but for me, it was worth it.
It can be a really good collaborative process because the owner's idea with the input from the neighbors, like, can you kind of lower it there because I, you know, that can really work out. That hasn't been our experience with the sea drift houses. But again, I'm not making a moral judgment if it sounds like I am. Big houses
well,
are bad.
I think it would be good for us to show up at the Secret Homeowners Association meeting. They have open time just like we do.
We'd be glad to
sure
go.
Kieran needed your pictures.
We've never been invited.
Actually, we were disinvited.
How did that happen? What happened?
It was about 3-4 years ago, and somebody was saying to the Sea Drift Association, you really need to know what the Village Association's up to and what they're doing. It's just, we don't need to talk about
that. That's true.
That's
true. Might be different now.
Might be different now.
Have we ever had a meeting with Sea Drift Architectural Review? Someone
no.
Represented that? I mean, maybe that would be helpful.
Should.
Would be great.
We could invite them.
Sure. We have the Sea Drift Association on as a reporting agency. They're always welcome to come here.
Well, yeah. we've got one, two.
I think it's great.
Three,
yeah.
Four of us. Five, six, seven. So
good.
We're represented
quite well.
I think Cedra should take over the board, Village Association. Vote in all your folks.
Oh, careful
brother.
What you wish for.
I keep waiting for someone to run against me. Anyway.
No, you don't.
It's the graft. I'm sorry.
It's the fringe benefits.
I think it would be interesting if you all invited the architectural group to come here and make a presentation about what it is that they do on our behalf when something is built. So at least there's a common understanding of what's going on the Cedar side.
I agree with you, especially since we have new guidelines.
Right.
All
new. I'm sorry, my tone is invaded by the past, and I should look to. You know, it would be great because we do. Our instructions are, you know, defer to, or not defer, but value and respect. But the architectural.
I think for some of us that are in Sea Drift, it would be an education too.
Yes.
It'd be great.
Okay, so who's going
to
do that? Who's going to write them and ask, say, we understand
the
guidelines?
I'm going to go to the association meeting next one they'd have and on this open time and just express what is going on here. And, you know, I would invite all my fellow sea drifters to come with me.
But we also want to invite them here.
That's fine. Do we know who they are, or maybe it's just online?
We'd be glad to go there if we're invited. We'd be glad to have them here. We'd be glad to step it up to a, although that sounds like a second or third step, to a community center, get together, whatever makes sense. But mostly it's, I'm expressing the frustration of being compliance review and looking at these things and having been to numerous hearings and spoken up for the Village Association's view. And it's tough, and I respect a homeowner's rights and desires. So.
Comment, question, and a request. The comment is that on Belvedere, Dave and Margot built us a very, very small house, on a very, very small lot, but we're also, it also gives you that feeling of being walled in just because it's right on the road and it's next to another big house. So I think we're seeing it on the hill as well. My question is, does that higher ceiling height, roof height pertain to the Dip Sea Road as well, or is it just the seafront?
It pertains to Dip Sea too.
So it's all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So my request is that the Village Association formally request the Sea Drift Association to have their design review people come here so we can talk about a community and part of that being of our community plan and working together with CDRF on an architectural review.
Formally, request is fine. I don't want to ramp it up to formal. This is just something that we all ought to do as community members. So let's just see what comes. Maury's going to go to a meeting. Let's see what the next step is. Let me also tell you that on the Hill, there is a vast area which is subject to zoning regulations going back to 1935. I can't remember. They haven't gotten around to review of height, FAR, floor area ratio.
But my request is, if a email or whatever request goes to the CDIS office asking their review board to come here at our next meeting, and to, because people here may not be on the design review board. They may be representing themselves, but they're not representing the association. And it would be well to have that discussion between this member board and this community and those people that are actually on that, on their design review board.
I agree it would be good to have the discussion. I think the discussion should arise organically and not by request personally. Anybody else? Yes, Anne.
I think you should keep in mind, too, as long as I've been coming to the association meeting, CDRA has elected not to have a representative be here.
Right.
Numerous people have encouraged them to, and they have declined. So I think one of the first steps would be having somebody represent CDRA on that report thing. But they could be done at the same time.
Well, Anne Walsh would be a perfect person.
They don't want anybody.
No. They don't want to participate.
I'm sure she is.
And shading the truth a little.
Alternative facts. Oh, no.
Okay, so the record should reflect we have a new compliance review partner. I will pass it off. Keep the beach clean.
Anyone
there
opposed?
Was a beach.
We're all doing our part to pick up trash on the beach.
Local coastal program amendments. We've been waiting for the next hearing, which is hoped by the Coastal Commission will allow kind of a staff-to-staff narrowing of issues. They keep trying to get stuff done and be ready. And now
there's going to be a Coastal Commission hearing in Ventura County on the 8th of March. And as regards the Marin County Local Coastal Program, this is a public hearing and action on request by Marin County to extend time to acknowledge and accept the modifications suggested by the Coastal Commission on the Local Coastal Program Amendment Number, etc., March 15th, which has to do with the Environmental Hazard Section and the agriculture, which are portions of the Local Coastal Program update that have not yet been approved by the county. So the staffs of the county and the Coastal Commission are working out the language and trying to reach some agreement about what's going to be in the final plan.
The sticking points.
So they're asking for a continuance. And that will be voted on as to whether or not that will be granted on the 8th of March. Also before the Coastal Commission is the Caltrans application to do a shoulder widening from Calle del Mar to Calle del Arroyo and to install centerline rumble strips to prevent head-on collisions and to provide 40 pullouts to improve bicyclist and pedestrian safety. And as Mike stated earlier, the staff report for this application recommends that it be approved.
Well, let me take that one, and I'll send a letter expressing Village Association support for the record. Everyone agree?
Yes. Can you scan that and send it to me, and I'll attach it?
Yeah.
I'll scan it and send it to you. Sounds good.
We think that's it.
That's it for that.
The Brian Crawford, the community development director, has formed, I think I mentioned, formed a committee of representatives from each of the village associations to consult with the county about the local coastal program amendments. I am our representative, and I have not yet been summoned to a call or a meeting. So I assume this really is an extension if we're not talking about specifics yet.
Right, we're not. So,
how much of an extension do they want?
They didn't specify.
It's a statutory thing. They're coming up against a must-do date and they want more time, I think.
Yes.
The county wants more time.
Yeah, county wants one. Yes. I think there's ultimately going to be a deadlock. The staff may peel off little things, and that the November hearing, Coastal Commission tried to avoid making a decision, but ultimately they're going to have to. And it affects all of the properties in the lower land. Advisory committee to address sea level rise. Should we vote this committee out of existence, or is there still going to be more sea level rise stuff?
Well, the sea will continue to rise. I don't know that that advisory committee is extant.
We're going
to
address it. Go down there.
I see.
This was we were active as the county was going through its Sea Smart program.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've concluded that. Well, let's leave it on there and we'll figure it out. Sorry.
I move we leave it.
Have they ever report? I don't remember having heard a report.
Yes, we did when Larry Crutcher was active on it.
And John Washington.
And John Washington. No. For the good of the order, does anybody want to talk about anything else?
Are you really moving to remove
No,
that?
Not yet.
Okay.
I don't think we should.
Okay.
We have to figure out what's going on, if the county's doing anything more.
Okay.
Any good of the order comments? We've had a pretty unstructured meeting.
What does that mean?
It means you can talk about anything you want.
Oh, okay.
But don't feel obligated.
Let's talk about what we're going to do when we adjourn.
I will readjourn.
All in favor.
Thank
Bye.
You all for coming.
Meeting adjourned. Everybody gets $100 gift certificate for coming.
From our surplus.
From our surplus.
If anyone wants information on Air Network, I've got it here.
I'm worried about